welcome to Souls on Fire with your host, Joe Trainer. Joe is a husband and father of three, and for 29 years was an award-winning and very successful college football coach. Today, he is the director of athletics for Pope John Paul II High School. He is a leader, a man of character, and filled with the joy of the Lord. Joe was running for God's heart and became a soul on fire. Listen in every Monday as Joe interviews other sports figures and businessmen and women who bring their faith into the marketplace. And now, here's Joe Trainer.
Hello and welcome to Souls on Fire. I'm your host, Joe Trainer, on this Halloween Monday in Philadelphia. Good time to be in Philadelphia, folks. World Series game playing tonight at home, Kira. I can only imagine how crazy that environment's going to be. It's going to be absolutely electric tonight on Halloween. The freaks will come out in outfits and costumes and trying to bring some good mojo to the stadium, I'm sure of that. Celebrating an Eagles win yesterday where our undefeated Eagles are still hanging in there and getting on that Super Bowl-bound train, so we're all enjoying that. And obviously celebrating Halloween with All Saints Day coming tomorrow. Tonight's a special night for me. I have my daughter, Kira Trainer, back for a second go-round. I got so many positive reviews from our last show together about 6 months ago that I decided to bring her back. And she loves her dad so much that she's given up half of her Halloween night tonight to spend it with her favorite guy. So, Kira, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Excited that you're here. Lot to talk about. Can't believe my baby girl's going off to college next year. She's a senior at Lansdale Catholic. It's been an exceptional ride for her and our family at Lansdale Catholic. She's just seeing her in a faith-based school and seeing how her faith has really caught fire for the Lord with so many instrumental men and women there to kind of get that fire stoked. We're eternally blessed. Maureen and I are eternally blessed for not just the great education that she got there, but really for the faith that has kind of permeated every aspect of her life, in school, at LC, out of school, not at LC. And really that formation is going to propel her into great success moving forward as she takes on challenges of college and beyond as an employee and a potential, mother and wife and all the great things that have. We take great comfort that knowing that at her foundation, at her core, her faith is going to be the moral compass that directs her in all of her decisions. So, Keek, let's talk. I got a lot to talk about, but one of the things I want to talk about, we're coming up on probably a year ago, you and I had the special opportunity to go down to D.C., Washington, D.C., and be involved in the March for Life down in D.C. You and I went down. We took the train down. Unfortunately, like a lot of Catholic schools that were still dealing with the effects of COVID, your school was supposed to go down there. You were supposed to, as the president of the pro-life club at LC, you had a group going down, and then the week before they had to cancel it. And not as did a lot of schools, make it a formal activity because of COVID. So you and I ended up taking the train down to D.C. We met Dylan down there, and that was an electric event down there with so many people that were on fire, not just for Christ, but for life. Talk about that. Reflect back on that for a minute.
So I would say that's probably one of the coolest things I've ever done.
I'm with you there.
I think growing up in an atmosphere and like being surrounded by like a lot of people who aren't necessarily pro-life, not necessarily in school because they go to a Catholic school, but just like around it could be challenging for me. So going somewhere where it's like everybody has the same opinions on you and is truly standing up for what you believe in and what is right, I think it's cool that like I said, like we all got to be there supporting the same cause. And it was crazy to see how many people were there and how many people truly were there for the same reason. Yeah.
I've always admired you, Kara, as more than any of our kids. I think your ability to stand alone and not, you know, you're not a conformist. And even if that means you stand by yourself, and, you know, I know you had some conversations that may have gotten intense, whether it was social media or with some of your peers. You've never been afraid to stand by your convictions, and I've always admired you for that. Talk about that. Like, where do you get that strength from?
Yeah, I mean, there's a saying that it's always time to do what is right. So I think, like, for me, at the end of the day, like, we obviously all have morals and we all have souls, and I think when it comes down to my opinions, I truly do believe in them, and my soul truly is telling me that, like, that is that my what I'm feeling is valid, what I'm feeling is right. So honestly, yeah, it could be tough when I'm standing alone in a certain situation, but at the end of the day, like, obviously I'm doing it for what is right. And honestly, God gives me the strength, you know what I mean? Like, I think being a teenager standing alone could be hard, but, like, God truly does give me the strength for that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. You know, this year you just turned 18. You turned 18, you know, a couple months ago, and here we are, you know, next Tuesday, a week from tomorrow, we have our first election, our midterm elections, and you're going to have a chance to be a voter. You registered a little while back, this is cool. So, like, now, like, I've always felt like, I don't know why, but in my opinion, you know, that was a bigger milestone into adulthood for me than being 21 and being legally able to mm-hmm. drink. I've always felt like now I'm considered somebody that can, that has a say in my country and the direction that we're taking on. And I always viewed my ability to vote, you know, which comes 3 years earlier than your ability to legally drink. I always felt that was a more you know, powerful rite of passage than you know, being able to go into a restaurant or a bar and to be served a beer or a glass of wine. You know, this is your first election that you're going to have a chance to vote in, and you know, I know you're involved. You know, you're the president of the Pro Life Club at LC. So, how does that that issue of life, how does that impact? You know, I'm not necessarily asking you who you're voting for, but how does that impact the decisions with which you're going to make in the voting booth?
Yes. So referring back to what you said earlier, standing up, like, for something morally is important, and seeing other people that are going to stand up for something morally is important. So I think when coming to choose a candidate who's pro-life versus pro-choice, it's obviously a make or break for me, to choose the person who is going to stand up for life. Like I said, I think it's something that not only is important to Catholics as a whole, but is just super important to me. So obviously I'm going to agree with someone who's pro-life, and that's just super important to me because it's morally right.
Absolutely. That's awesome. You know, and looking back on, and I agree with you, like, with that decision, not only I think, I would say our relationship, not that it took a turn for the better, but, like, man, to have that experience that we had down in DC together, that was, like, crazy intense for me. And just to be able to share it with my daughter, a strong female and a voice for the future, was really, really special for me. And I felt like, it was just like, I felt like, man, this is, it was much different, because it was an experience that you and I shared. You know, here was my younger daughter growing into adult, you know, womanhood in her own right, and being able to make her own decisions. But that was just really awesome for me. But, you know, before we get off the subject of the March for Life last year, there were so many powerful stories there. There was women who had abortions, that after years of self-loathing and either self-loathing or self-medicating, you know, found ways to heal. And then there was children that were, you know, that whose parents at the last second or through divine intervention, whose parents opted not to pursue that, you know. But there were so many great stories. It was more than just a, you know, hoorah, hoorah, let's go life. It was, I think, the stories, and there was probably, what, a dozen of them throughout the day. There were some politicians that were speaking, but some of those narrations of, like, personal journeys were crazy powerful. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, I think it's kind of cool because I think we oftentimes hear about stories, but no, not necessarily hear them. So I think hearing them from a first, like a first person point of view, changed a lot of things for me in a better way. I also there's one story that stood out to me about this woman with Down syndrome, and she was just sharing her thoughts on abortion. So that's a story that really stuck out to me. And like you were saying about women who've had abortions in the past or abortion survivors, it truly is powerful to hear it in a first person point of view and to hear it coming from somebody who has experienced or almost experienced an abortion or an abortion procedure in some way.
Absolutely. There's your faith, and again, you've taken on a leadership role. I know you don't want to necessarily shy away from being recognized at that, but I know Father Dave O'Brien up at Lansdale Catholic, the campus minister director, you and he have a great relationship. He uses you as an influencer to bring people to events and to kind of continue to spread the word of Christ at a grassroots level. He knows your strong personality will be able to attract people that might be on the fence or maybe not, maybe they kind of hide from being loud and proud about their faith the way that you're not afraid to. You don't shy away from talking about your faith and how important it is to you. And like a lot of Catholic schools, you have a number of kids that aren't Catholic. Or a number of kids that may have been baptized, that don't practice the faith or really aren't involved in that. What are some of the ways that you're able to evangelize the Word of God and the Word of Christ to some of those people that, when they go home, they don't really hear about it, they don't really practice it as a family? How are you able to include those people that you might be friends with, and just bring them closer to Christ?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is through actions too. I mean, not necessarily words, but
No
like
doubt.
mostly through actions, you know what I mean? Especially for like underclassmen or kids that are younger than me, like it's important because I think like not only like through a religious aspect, but just through like an aspect of looking up to someone who's older you. A lot of kids do look up to seniors like of the school or whatever. So I think doing actions is more so important than telling somebody to go, you know what I mean? Because it's like when you want somebody to go to church, it's kind of like when your parents tell you to like keep doing something. Like the more they keep telling you to do it, the more you don't want to do it.
No doubt.
So I think like
Not in our family.
I think encouraging someone to do it and showing them that it truly has helped you in the past is very important when trying to get somebody to like go to mass or practice their faith life more. Because like I said, like when somebody keeps pestering you about it rather than encouraging you, it kind of beats you up rather than like makes you feel better. But yeah, I think it is super important too, like in a school atmosphere to kind of like bring people together closer to God, especially because they go to a Catholic school. So LC does a really good job of like having a lot of opportunities, whether it's like prayer group you can go to, which is like an adoration once a week. And then I know, for example, like I've gotten a bunch of my friends to come to church with me. I said, hey, just give it a one-time thing. Like you might like it, and if you don't, it's okay. And I've had my one friend, shout out Bobby. He's been going to church with me for the past like month now,
That's awesome.
because he had a really good first experience. I
That's
think it's
awesome.
super important, to not really force people to, but encourage people to.
That's awesome. And really, you hit on that too. It's really an invitation. You're basically inviting people into the walk, right? I mean, I think that's, I look at, you meet people that one of the beauties of you is you meet people where they are. You're not going to judge them. And browbeat them to say, hey, you don't go to church, so you're not going to be saved or anything like that. But you have a way of just meeting people where they are, and keeping the invitation open, and basically say, hey, this is what it does for me in my life. I would invite you to walk in the walk too, and it can do the same for you. And I think that's really awesome. I think it was Aquinas that said, always preach the gospel and when necessary, use words. But I love your point about it's the show me mentality. People don't want to be lectured to, they want to be shown. And your energy, your positive outlook, the peace, you being on fire for the Lord, that's showing people, that change is possible and that God can work through all of us if we're open to it. I'm reminded of the story, and I shared this with you last week. We're having a we have a ton of awesome conversations, but I was talking about how, you know, the kids in the neighborhood were making fun of the old man, you know, because he lived in a, you know, beaten down house, and he drove an old truck, and they were like, "Oh man, all we do is see you praying and going to church, and you know, what has that gotten? You still live in a beat up old house, and you still drive an old pickup truck, and you know, what have all them prayers gotten you?" And the old man says, "Hey, I don't know what it's gotten me, but I can tell you all what it's taken away from me: my anger, my hostility, my judgment, my pride." Mm-hmm. And I sometimes think, you know, I've tried in the last couple years to shift my prayer life away from asking for things and more asking for God to relieve me of,
mm-hmm.
you know, my hostility, my prejudice, my pride, my arrogance, you know, and I'm amazed at the goodness that he's shown me in doing so. So I'm not mm-hmm. asking necessarily for more things, the accumulation of, but more, you know, what he can take away from me, and that's equally powerful. You know, I've shared on this show before, you know, the app, for all the negative that we want to talk about with technology and social media and all this stuff, you know, the app, the Catholic app of Laudate, gives us an opportunity to have access to reflections and gospel readings and readings of the day and all of it. But I just want to share for a minute today's gospel, from Luke 14, 12 to 14. On a Sabbath, Jesus went to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees. He said to the host who invited him, "When you hold a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or sisters or your relatives or your wealthy neighbors, in case they may invite you back and you have repayment. Rather, when you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Blessed indeed will you be because of their inability to repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The Gospel of the Lord. We talk about, you know, the marginalized, you know, you've been involved in a number of ministry programs where you're kind of doing outreach for people that are on the margins and don't have the things that we take for granted, you know, safe homes, food, opportunity for education, stable environments. And you've been really outspoken in your involvement at LC with campus ministry. Like, you talk for a second about prayer group. And I know that's been a huge part of your faith formation. And that's also been a huge platform for you to bring people with you. You talked about bringing Bobby to Mass, and you've done it with Carolina and some other, you know, Paige, you know, one of your good friends. It's usually a posse of three or four that go to Villanova's Mass on Sunday nights, right up the road. But talk about, you know, what prayer group has done for you and how you're able to bring people with you to that.
Mm-hmm. So I oftentimes think I think when people think of prayer, they think it has to be something super formal, whether it's like prayer said in church, like the Our Father, Hail Mary, whatever, which, don't get me wrong, are super, super sacred prayers and super important prayers. But at the same time, like, prayer group has opened my mind up to like a new way of praying. I mean, the first time I went to prayer group, I was a freshman in high school, and I didn't really think much of it. And at this point in my life, I wasn't super strong in my prayer, like super like strong in my like faith or confident in my faith. But prayer group, like I said, is something that opened my eyes up to a new way of prayer. You know what I mean? If I have anxiety, going to prayer group is something that like relieves my anxiety and, not necessarily like praying formal prayers, but even just sitting in front of the Blessed Sacrament in the most holy way, like that the Lord is with us, is a prayer for me, at least. Because sometimes like when you're praying, you don't know what to say, and you're kind of just like, "Lord, fill my heart." And I think prayer group is a way where I can express myself without having to say formal prayers.
That's awesome. That is so awesome. And I know, you know, just talking about it, you come back for some of, like every week it's different too, right? It might be adoration. It might be music. It might be journaling. It might be, you know, resuscitation of prayers. But you know, I get the impression Father Dave does a great job of mixing up the platforms at prayer group. So it's not the same routine every week. What, am I right in saying that?
Yeah. I mean, it is. It's adoration for an hour, and then there's music that plays in the background. But I think something that is super important, and this is another way of Father Dave like inviting people into like the walk, is he says a gospel reading at the beginning of every
prayer group,
which is super important because it kind of like it settles you down for the prayer group, and then. I think it's super cool because, like I said, like even if you're just sitting in front of the Lord, reading a book or journaling, it's something that it's like you still go out feeling 10 times better because you spent time with the Lord. You don't even have to be talking to him, but just you sitting there and being in his presence, he's talking to you.
Absolutely. And I think you gave me a great visual there because it's like, you know, even in my silence, just like keeping my heart open and letting him fill me up mm-hmm. with the message that I want to send after I leave here. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's pretty awesome. You know, 2 weeks ago, you know, Lansdale Catholic celebrated their homecoming, and you had the honor to be part of that court, the homecoming court. You were one of the senior girls that was chosen to be on that court, along with some great other women, and there was your male counterparts on the other side. And then talk about the homecoming experience. Talk about the initiative that you guys undertook with the charity and some of the things you were able to do, because there's some great stuff that you guys did up there that was really through the work of the Lord, working through his disciples like you and your friends. So tell our listeners about homecoming at LC and what that entailed.
Yeah, so at my school, unlike a lot of other schools, we pick a charity to donate all of the money raised through homecoming that goes to. So whether it's like bake sales that go on during homecoming week at lunch or selling t-shirts in the lunchroom, like all of the money that is raised throughout homecoming week goes to a certain foundation. So this year we chose the Kellen Ford Foundation, and I think it's pretty cool. And it's God giving us a message and God speaking to us, because, previously before you had Kellen Ford's mom on your radio show. And to give, the listeners a quick background, Kellen Ford was a 4-year-old boy who passed away of a rare type of brain cancer. So all of the money goes to like hostility care through that foundation, and kind of just helping families and helping children who are battling cancer. And I think that, like I said, that's super important to me that it was that charity, because I remember when that charity was announced, you told me, you're like, I know Kellen Ford's mom. So I think that was super cool, to be a part of a court that was raising money for a foundation that we were familiar with. And it is super cool that, we raised over $53,000.
And that's the most, your principal, tell everybody how much you raised.
Yeah. So we raised like around $53,000. I'm not sure to be exact, but that's the highest number we've raised ever throughout a homecoming week at my school. And for me, it was a really cool experience, because going into homecoming, I wasn't necessarily thinking anything of it. I kind of thought of it more as a chore, thinking like, oh, we have to raise money. But like, that just goes to show how much service does for you, because doing stuff for other people really can open up your heart and open up your eyes and see like, wow, my life isn't really all that bad. And it makes you feel 10 times better about yourself when you're doing something for other people. So for me, I raised about $5,000 out of the 53,000. Like one of the people on the court raised like a ton of money too. But I think it's cool that, I don't know, it made me feel good about myself.
Absolutely.
And just made me open up my eyes. And it was really cool seeing like all of my other friends on court raise money too. And I know it opened up their eyes too, to think, wow, I'm over here yelling at my dad for not giving me money for gas while this mom is coming to talk about her son's death. And it opens up your eyes, and it gives you a new perspective. And it's really cool to raise money for something that truly does matter.
No doubt. One of my favorite lines is, comparison is the thief of happiness. Sometimes we're so, in today's day and age too, especially, we're so consumed with all the things we don't have, adults and children, like, And then we get hostile because we're comparing us to people that have, may, the perception is that they have more than us, but, you know, and then it robs you of your happiness. But when you really, you know, that's why, you know, one of the things I remember when you were a freshman and you came to me, and it was an amazing conversation because you said, "Dad, I really don't know how to pray. Can you help me with my prayer?" And then Father Dave, you know, I gave you some advice, and then Father Dave was feeding you, and then Mr. McCarthy and Mr. Finocchio and all the great teachers, not just the theology teachers, Mrs. Templeton, all the teachers that are walking the walk more than talking the talk. The culture there is amazing, and just so cool that, you know, you get that perspective, you know, because a lot of times, and we'll talk about that after the break, but, you know, the self-indulgent nature of teenagers, right? Or, and for all of us today, we, you know, it's about, you know, it's about me. What can I do? I need my, you know, what, how do I help my brand, or how do I help my, my situation? And the opportunity to be other-centered is pretty awesome. So that's great. Did you feel, you know, some at most schools homecoming is just really a popularity contest, you know, and I don't know enough about different homecomings, but I don't think at PJP we did much fundraising for that. But did you feel a lot of pressure to pull your weight, you know, with donations?
Yeah, stuff? I definitely did feel a lot of pressure, but at the same time, it's like, okay, like, it doesn't matter because I'm not raising money for me. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
No matter, like, how much money I raise, like, it's still super cool that me and all my friends were chosen to do this, and we raised as much money as we did. So, yeah, it was a lot of pressure, and, yeah, since it's going to such an amazing cause, you wanted to raise as much money as you could, but at the end of the day, it's like, we raised $53,000 more dollars than we did the week before. So
absolutely,
I think it's something that's really
and she
cool.
was even saying, Kellen Ford's mom was there. Her whole family was there. How awesome was that? Like, you know, I get to walk you out to the 50-yard line at halftime with the other fathers and their respective daughters. And but to have her family there and her brothers were there, and not just her husband and her other son, but, you know, her extended family there. And she was saying how well, how cool it was because every dollar that you raise goes to it. When the government earmarks money, 4 cents on every dollar actually goes to the charity. Everything else is in the red tape and the just to get circumvented in that way. But when she told the whole group that only 4 cents on every dollar actually goes to the foundation, it was like, wow. And every dollar that was raised of the almost $54,000 at LC that for that event, every cent of every dollar goes to that foundation. So that's pretty amazing stuff. Folks, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with LC star senior Kira Trainer after these messages.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Welcome back to Souls on Fire. I'm your host, Joe Trainer, on this Halloween Monday, a couple hours from Game 3 of the World Series. Keek, we'll sidetrack for a second. How do you feel about tonight's matchup with the World Series?
A little nervous. The Astros are looking pretty good, but hopefully
what are the keys to victory tonight? What would you say? Give me three keys. What has to happen? Putting you on the spot here.
Yeah.
Anything?
I don't really know much about baseball, right, I'm just going to pray and kiss it up to God.
Well said, Fredicio. I'm going to say the top part of the order, the people that have come through in both divisional series and the pennant series have to come through. 1 through 5 have to show up. We got to get a great outing from our pitcher tonight, and hopefully the home crowd, as crazy as the Philadelphia fans are going to be on this Halloween evening. I think the crazies, the Philly scaries are coming out tonight, so hopefully we can shake up a pretty solid roster for the Astros. Keek, you're headed off to college, okay, next year. You're looking at a bunch of great schools. The liberal agenda of most colleges, okay? I think one of the challenges that has impacted certainly Catholic conservative thought is the nature of the colleges and they're inclusive for everybody that has the same like-mindedness, but sometimes, it's the faith-based people that are maybe put in the margins. So, you've been blessed to go to Catholic school, most of your educated life thus far, but chances are you're going off to a non-Catholic college next year. How are you going to be able to keep your faith alive and growing, knowing that you don't necessarily have the immediate support around you from a day-to-day standpoint?
Like I have for my school before, I think I'm so fortunate to not only go to a Catholic school, but go to a Catholic school who, the mentors and teachers around me are trying to get us to practice our faith every day. So it's going to be a difficult adjustment, but I think it's kind of cool that all colleges have a Catholic church and campus ministry I can do and to still stay involved with stuff like that and service trips and missions trips. So I'm going to be sure to get involved in stuff like that so I can still practice my religion, even though I'm not necessarily in a religious atmosphere.
Sure. I think, definitely the foundation's been laid. And I think, now you're the bird that's leaving the nest. You're going to kick you out of the nest, and now you're going to learn to fly on your own. And I think the foundation's been laid, and now it's just a matter of growth, right? Keep dialing in, keep digging down in your faith, and to whom much is given, much is expected. I think the beauty of God's abundant grace is that the more we ask for it, the more He fills us with it. Mm-hmm. And I think one of my prayers for you is to find other like-minded people that are on the same journey as you, because there's strength in numbers, particularly in education today, where most young people are so self-absorbed, they're not even thinking about God or eternity or salvation or helping out people on the margins. But I think the lens for you has gotten so wide in these last 2 years in particular that there's no doubt you're going to enjoy great success, both not just academically but spiritually. And that's for us. I know for Mom and I, that's as important as any successes you're going to have on a personal level or an academic level. But it won't be easy. I'm mm-hmm. going to tell you that much, because there's enough haters out there that are going to try and bully and intimidate you and denounce the things you believe in. So there's no doubt you're going to have challenges, but there's also no doubt in our mind that you're going to have great successes with that too. Let me ask you this. I think one of the things that I've read a couple, you know, great books in the last couple months, The Wonder Drug, it talks about, you know, being other-centered, right? And the science tells us that when we're other-centered and we're focused on other people, it's amazing how you lose a lot of your ailments. Your heart rate gets lower, your blood pressure gets lower, your anxiety and depression get lower when we extend ourselves and we no longer suffer from the disease of me. And you've done an amazing job of being other-centered and focusing on other people in your journey. How has that helped you on a personal level keep perspective?
Yeah, like you said, it definitely helps with anxiety, like all of that stuff. But I think, like, especially being a teenager, like taking focus off of you when you constantly care about yourself all the time is something that's super important. And not necessarily what can I do for me or what can I do to make me happy, but like, what can I do to make another person happy? And I think it's super important.
That's awesome. And it's so true, because I find that, you know, as a 54-year-old male, when the focus is on me, I tend to be more selfish, more absorbed, mm-hmm. Less concerned about my family or people in my life, my loved ones. And when I'm able to shift that lens and open that lens, so to speak, I find that my happiness goes up and my stress level goes down mm-hmm. when I'm focusing on other people. And it's amazing how God creates us to be other-centered, but in our sinfulness, we end up being more self-centered.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this. I mean, you're coming down to the home stretch here at LC. You only have, you know, probably 5 or 6 more months there. You've had so many influential mentors, male and female. Who have been some other than, obviously Father Dave, it starts with him. He sets the tone for the spiritual development for the whole school. And he does an amazing job, no?
Yeah. Father Dave is someone I truly do look up to. And I think, along with other teachers, but he's someone I do look up to. And I think it stands out to me because he's such a young priest and because he does relate to all of us. And he truly, like we were just talking about, like he focuses on other people, more than himself, which is someone like I want to be like. But also, like, I always talk about them, but like Mr. Finocchio, my faith in action teacher, and then, Mr. McCarthy, my theology teacher last year. But even those teachers I never got the chance to have, but have met like through my years of LC. Miss Templeton, she was an adult leader on Kairos. Seeing her practice her faith and live out her faith is something that inspires me to do so too. And then another teacher, Miss Cooney. Miss Cooney was another adult leader. She's a teacher at Lansdale Catholic as well. Sadly, I never got the opportunity to have both of them, but yeah, Ms. Cooney definitely demonstrates holiness and goodness by her actions and how she treats other people and how she, like we were just talking about, is so selfless and does a lot of things for other people.
That's awesome. Let me ask you this. I know you and Mom have a great relationship. She's a great model for what Catholic womanhood looks like. You know, how important is it for you to have, you know, strong female role models as someone that's, you know, kind of entering a kind of a, you know, chaotic time, you know, growing up. I mean, it's just, you know, it's a crazy world. But when you can see strong females that are dialed into their faith and giving you examples on a day in and day out basis, how important is that?
That is super important because, like women support women, you know what I mean? Just like, men support men and, women relate to women. You know what I mean? It's kind of cool that I'm seeing all these women practice the same things I do or same things I try to do. And I know that they've had a similar story or similar struggles as me, and just seeing like them use their faith to kind of like get past that. Because obviously like women relate to women, like I said, and yeah, just kind of seeing how they use their faith life to overcome some challenges that they've had, like with being a woman, if that makes sense.
Makes total sense. Makes total sense. And obviously knowing that you have them to kind of get counsel from, mm-hmm. and some of the, even though it's a crazy time to be coming up, some of the history of, the challenges are as old as, you know, creation, right? Some mm-hmm. of the female challenges that that are on your plate as an 18-year-old, mom, and those women that you mentioned have been where you're at. And certainly, you know, I can empathize all I want, but I've never been in, God created, men. I always say he might have started with man, but he perfected humanity with women, because you're just like your mom. You're amazing, and you're incredibly strong. And I can't wait to see where God brings you on this journey. Kairos, we talk about that as kind of the signature event for a high school senior. You had a chance to go in the summer. Talk about that as you reflect back on that a couple months after the fact. Talk about that, like your Kairos experience down at Malvern Retreat House. Mm-hmm. And, I see a permanent transformational, sometimes they call it the Kai hangover, mm-hmm. Kai high, where you're changed for a couple of weeks. But I really do. I see you living your faith more now than ever before, as much now as ever before. And I know you look back and you reference, without giving any confidentiality up, you still talk about, Kairos's impact on you. Talk about that a little bit for our audience.
Yeah, so going into Kairos, I'm going to be honest, I didn't have super high hopes. I thought I was a pretty religious person. I thought I practiced my religion well. So going into it, I was kind of just like, I don't really know what I'm going to get out of this, to be honest. Like, am I going to go to church more after this? Am I going to become a saint after this? Like, I was genuinely confused. But Kairos, just it's something that truly did open my eyes, and not only impacted me to become like a better Catholic, but just a better person as a whole. And it truly did open my eyes to like amazing things. And like I said, it's such an eye opening experience. And I think Kai High is a real thing. I can speak on behalf of that. But I think oftentimes people do get super upset when they come back from Kairos and their Kai High, and their quote unquote Kai High goes away after a couple weeks. But even I felt that way. But looking back on it now, it's kind of just like, just because we felt God more so in one moment than we did another doesn't mean he's not with us. You know what I mean? Like, God was with me just as much on Kairos as he is right now. Amen. So I think that's something that's like cool to look back on. And that is something that Kairos did teach me, is that like, God is with you wherever you go, like your highest of highs and your lowest of lows.
Amen. And I think, it's like any relationship, right? It ebbs and flows, I know for me in my journey, I was just about 2 weeks ago, I had a guest on, I was talking about, I was coming out of a dry spell. I had a period where probably for like 6 to 8 weeks where I felt like I was in kind of a fog. Like I wasn't, I was trying to keep up with my prayer life and my platforms to worship, but I wasn't really tuned into the actual experience. And it's my relationship with Christ, it's like any other relationship. It ebbs and flows, mm-hmm. and it's like that, with your journey. It's every day is not going to be that crazy, intense, hallelujah, this is amazing, I just want to mm-hmm. hug every person I look at. You have to cultivate it, right? You have to water it. It's like, you gotta prune it, right? You gotta, the foundation is laid, and then we got to just make sure we're kind of building, correctly, and the structure is there. And, but you gotta keep dialing in. It's never an aha moment where like, I'm cured forever and right. I'm going to go mm-hmm. on and have, 40 years of just, no hardship and great relationships. And I think that's one of the big things I've really kind of come to appreciate with my journey. Even when I'm at a dark place, or even when I can't see, the foot of the cross, if I feel like, I'm still working at it, I'm eventually going to come back in phase with Christ, and our relationship's going to hit yet another high in my relationship. I know, you know, you're in the process of interviewing for, you know, they're interviewing for leaders, you know, for leaders at Kairos, and I know it had such a huge influence over you. Talk about what that opportunity to be a leader on a Kairos trip would be like for you.
I think it'd be a cool, super cool experience, just because, like I said, like I had a super good experience on Kairos, so I would love to get to give other people that good experience. Like we said earlier, like kind of like giving back and doing things for other people. Yeah, and I think it's a cool opportunity, and yeah.
Cool. I think, let me ask you this, one more thing about Kairos, and I don't want you to disclose anything, but you kind of come to see people, you know, really kind of in the figurative speech, they're really naked, right? They're unexposed. They're not like, you see them without all the rah-rah pretense of like, you know, the public, you know, display. And I think you hear a lot of great, amazing, crazy, powerful stories, and you come to appreciate things that people have to overcome. How awesome is that perspective that you get to share on an intimate level people's experience and what it does for your perspective in terms of being grateful for all the great things that you have? Does that help you with getting great perspective in terms of, you know, God's goodness, you know, all around?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, go ahead.
Can you rephrase that question?
Yeah, like, I mean, you get to hear these stories, and it gives you perspective on, you know, oh my gosh, how does this relate to my journey?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how does that make you feel?
It's actually a cool experience getting to hear other people's stories, because it's like, not only do you, I mean, sometimes you can't even relate to them. They're so powerful.
Challenging, yeah.
But it is cool, because it kind of, it makes you take a step back in your life. And like I said, referring back to what we were talking about with like the Kellen Ford Foundation, and just seeing like us complaining about something that's so small, like, not that our problems are small, but like there's problems out there that are way bigger. And it's something that like I can relate to, because like, sure, I think my problems are big, but it's like seeing people who have bigger problems than me overcome their obstacles in their life gives me hope that I can overcome whatever challenges are thrown in my way.
That's awesome. I know there's an interview process when they select leaders. Like, what are some of the things they're looking for in Kairos leaders?
I just think someone who just like practices holiness. I mean, I assume, looking back on the leaders I had on my Kairos, each and every one of them demonstrated holiness in one way or another. And kind of just, I think, people who are like open to encouraging, like we said earlier, encouraging people to come to the Lord, and people who are vulnerable. You know what I mean? It's like Kairos, whether you're a leader or you're someone who's attending it for the first time, like, it is what you put into it. You know what I mean? It's like, it's something that like you do truly have to open your heart. So I think they're also like looking for people who are like willing to like not share like their deepest, darkest secrets, but like people who are like vulnerable.
Absolutely. For me, one of the coolest things was, you know, was homecoming. You know, our dear friends, the Hudaks, were at the game. You know, that was really cool to see them there. And just, you know, the event, you know, LC did an unbelievable job. And there you were, you know, you had your dress on with your fancy black sneakers to go along with your dress. And then being the football manager, you know, you quick after the pomp and circumstance of the homecoming prettiness and showcase with that, you ended up changing into your football attire. But in pregame, you were tossing the football around in your dress, which was kind of cool. Football season just ended for Lansdale last weekend with a win over O'Hara. How cool has that experience been? I know, you know, being a football manager for the last couple of years was a big part of your journey there too. And I know some of the friendships you made, not just with the players, but with the staff, I think they'll stay with you for a lifetime too. So talk about your football experience as a manager there these last couple of years.
Yeah. So friendship is something that's super important to me. So I think it's super cool that like I got to meet so many new people and create a new friendship with them. Especially people like who I can like, relate to for like a love of a sport. You know what I mean? Like I'm one of the only girls I know that like truly does love football.
Sure.
So I think it's kind of cool. Like even though they're guys, to just kind of like relate to like other people who love the sport too. And also like for a lot of those kids, I think they have helped me in my faith journey too. Cause, a good handful of them, incorporate, their faith in their game. You know what I mean? Like I have a couple friends who wear like tape on their wrists that will have their favorite Bible verse on them, or a Bible verse that like has helped them get through hard times or is going to help them play a good game. So I think that's kind of eye opening for me too. And, not only for football, just for like sports in general, I know the, like, yeah, a lot of people like on the team like do, and like not even just football, like I said, like a lot of sports at LC do incorporate their faith in there.
That's awesome. I know Pope John Paul II, St. John Paul II, he felt that there was no greater platform to bring people closer to Christ than sport, because it's the you can showcase, first of all, a lot of times as athletes, even at a high school year, you're a higher profile person in the building, male or female, and then your ability to kind of showcase your faith in such a positive way, where you're paying homage, you're asking God to bless the experience, and you're also paying homage for Him to give you the talents to be successful in that endeavor. And I think that's, and he's always, you know, he always viewed that when he was in the papacy. He himself was a great athlete. He was an amazing soccer goalie. When he was a teenager, he was known as Lolik the goalie. He was a great mountain climber, renowned skier, well into his 60s, and just was an avid lover of sports. He always used the World Games as a platform to bring people closer to Christ from a Catholic Christian standpoint. Speaking of soccer, you went to the playoff game last night with the Union, huh?
Yeah.
The Philly Union. How was that?
It was good. It was good.
You're friends with a couple of the guys in the developmental program there?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
How was that? I know we don't come from a soccer family, a ton of us.
Mm-hmm.
So was it a little funny?
It is a little funny, but surprisingly, I do enjoy it a lot. Soccer fans are, they're brutal. I'm not going to lie.
Are they?
But yeah, it was a fun time, you know.
Now that's your third game?
Yeah, seeing Philly do good in sports right now is.
It's a good time to be in Philly. We got.
Good time to be
I think
a
you know
fan.
You got the Phillies. You know they're going to win the World Series. The Eagles are going to the Super Bowl, and we got
Knock
the Union.
Work.
Yeah, you got the Union. When do they? They're in the finals, or is
so
it?
They're in the championship, the MLS Cup. Which
that's awesome.
They go to Los Angeles to play in that.
Okay.
That's on Saturday.
And then how many people were at that game last night?
Oh, I don't know, but I was bumping into people left and right. I think it was close to sold out. Yeah.
Was it? That's a nice place down there that they play at. So, and are they underdogs here with this championship, or are they favored?
I couldn't answer that.
No? Okay. Mm-hmm. As we kind of wind down here for the last couple minutes on Halloween, you look back on your all the different costumes between, you know, Lancaster, Rhode Island, and Philly. Any Halloween stick out, or do they all kind of just blend
together?
Honestly,
I was a weird kid growing up. I wasn't one of those kids that dressed
Halloween.
In. Yeah, I would like. I remember probably the most fun I've had on Halloween was a year me and a couple of my friends. This is probably when I was in like third grade, when we lived in Rhode Island, dressed up in those like morph suits. That it's like the like mesh, just the whole like colorful mesh outfits that have like the head cap and everything. And we all dressed up as a different color one, and it was so weird. And it's not what your typical third grade girl would go out as.
Sure.
But we all had fun, so.
That's funny that you said that, because as you're saying that, I'm thinking, like, you weren't, like, I look at your brothers, and they were dressed up right from jump. Like, Dylan was, like, Mr. Dress-Up, man. He was, like, he would have celebrated Halloween every day of the year. I mean, between his cowboy outfits and all that stuff, and even Liam, he was crazy into it. But I look back on all those memories with, you know, the candy and they trading and mom and dad pilfering your bags for all the good stuff. I'm assuming this year you're not going out trick or treating tonight.
Not this year.
I got you. You got off tomorrow, so it's like
yes.
A Saturday night for you, right?
Yep.
Listen, Keek, I can't. This has been awesome. The last thing I want to talk about is, you know, Mrs. McGovern, the principal at LC, and the culture of that place. you know, and I said this to her at homecoming, it's not, you know, the thing that's amazing about LC, it's when you go on campus there, it's not, you're not wowed with facilities. You know, it's not like you go there and you're like, oh my gosh, these facilities, there's 10 beautiful fields and there's two gymnasiums and there's this big auditorium. It's kind of a bit of a throwback there, at that place, but the people there and the culture there, it really is amazing. And, you know, do you think that's a big tribute to Mrs. McGovern and her leadership there?
Yes, I think Mrs. McGovern is one person who I look up to too, because she always preaches kindness. You know what I mean? And she always talks about that it's what's on the inside and not really the outside. And now that you said that, it's kind of not only for people, but it can be for our building too. You know what I mean? It's like, I go to a school where it's two hallways and less than a football field wide, but it's something that's like, it's like home to me. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It's like it's about what's on the inside. Like, the people are there.
I'll tell you, I've been in pretty much every school in the state of Pennsylvania, every high school. And I can honestly say that the kids at LC, you know, I look at your friends and your group, and I think they're as happy there as any school in the state. I truly believe that. And there's a camaraderie there. And the thing I've always been impressed about with your experience, there's really not grade cliques. You know, you know, when you were a junior, you were friends with a ton of seniors. Mm-hmm. And as a senior, you have some friends that are juniors and maybe one or two sophomores. So there's really a sense of community there that really is unlike most schools that I think are cliquey. And, you know, you have friends that are athletes, you have friends that are non-athletes, you have males, you have females, kids that would do unbelievably well and take AP classes. You do kids that may not be going to college next year. You have kids. So your gamut of friends and the different types of people that you surround yourself with, it truly is like a melting pot. No?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. From day one, I remember vividly my freshman orientation, which is like technically like the first day for freshman year. I was petrified. I mean, I came from a school where nobody came from and I was scared, but that's truly when I felt at home, because I remember just like looking there, like you could not tell the difference between a freshman and a senior. That's how welcomed everybody was. And
that's awesome.
LC does a good job of making people feel at home.
They definitely do. And we're blessed to have had that experience and that ride with you the last 4 years. Keek, I couldn't be more proud of you. I love the woman you're becoming. God has great plans for you. Stay the course and always let your faith serve as your moral compass. I love you, buddy.
Thank you.
Folks, have a great week. Go Phillies. Go Union, go Birds. God bless.